Welcome back to the Godly Young Men podcast. This is episode 65. We are super grateful for you joining us. After a week's vacation, so to speak,
yeah, right.
Neither one of us went on vacation or anything like that, but had a lot going on, and so we just took a week off, and we are back now, ready for some more great Godly Young Men podcast material and content to give you. One of the things I did want to mention as we got started was we do monitor the comments in YouTube or on YouTube, and then via any other way you guys reach out to us. If you have an episode suggestion, throw it out there. We've gotten a few episode suggestions before, and we've done some episodes based off of those. So if you've got something you feel like would be especially pertinent to Godly Young Men, because not everything necessarily is, but specifically for this podcast, if you've got something you're like, man, I really want them to address, whether that be something in the culture, something on that you've seen on social media, just some kind of issue that you want us to see, you want to see addressed, let us know. We'd love to cover it. But let's go ahead and get into the episode for today, which is immodesty. We've talked about lust before. I think it was actually all the way back in episode 13. Dealing with lust was an episode that we felt was extremely important, was focused primarily, again, on lust. And obviously, immodesty and lust are correlated, but there's a little bit different dynamics to it. And so what we're going to be talking about in this episode is a little bit different than what we talked about in episode 13. But Joe, why don't you kind of get us going on what we're talking about?
So it's summertime, right? We're getting into summertime, and that means this is going to be a problem, really an increasing problem as the summer goes along, because you're going to the beach, you're going to the pool, you're out and about.
Weather's getting hotter.
Yeah, weather's getting hotter, and it seems this is the time that everything gets shorter. Everything's just more revealed this time of year, and so immodesty is just, man, it skyrockets in the summer. And I remember being a young kid and really struggling with the summers. Like, my mom, we didn't go to the pool, and mom was very aware of that. Like, we didn't really go to public pools very much at all as a kid. She'd keep us away from a lot of different things. I mean, there were basically anywhere you go, the mall or whatever else, you're seeing a lot of immodesty, but particularly places around parks or pools or things like that, you'd see a ton of it. Gyms. This is just what happens when things get hotter and everybody thinks that it's okay to take their clothes off. We want to speak to both sides of this. We want to speak to the men who, I mean, I think they feel like they can take their clothes off. They can take their shirts off. We're going to speak to some of those things to be modest ourselves. But the second thing is, how do we keep ourselves from lusting after the immodesty of these girls that we're seeing out and about in the summertime? So really, it speaks to both of those. But as far as it goes with this, let me ask you a question. Well, do you think they are equal in importance?
So I was going to ask you, actually, because I've heard somebody say this before, verbatim, where they said, men's modesty is just as big of a deal as women's modesty. I was curious what your thoughts are on that statement. I definitely have my thoughts on that statement, and so I know you just asked me the question. I would love to kind of throw a curveball into our outline here and ask you, just based on that statement, men, quote unquote, men's modesty is just as big of a deal as women's modesty. What would be your take on that?
I disagree. It's the way we're wired as men, and we are wired to desire visually. Women, oddly enough, like nowadays in today's culture, they are starting to get more visually
more so,
focused.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, biologically speaking, we are way more visually drawn. Does not mean men's modesty is not an issue. We're about to get into that. But are they of equal importance? My brief, I guess, and initial answer would be no.
So I would answer that kind of in two ways. One, are they of equal importance in the eyes of God? Like, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
God is not going to excuse a man's immodesty because he's a man versus a woman's immodesty. Right. Of course not. Like, when it comes to, they're both wrong, obviously. But when it comes to what is the bigger issue in our society today, and kind of what is the bigger issue for people in the church, is no question. Women's modesty is a far bigger deal for two reasons. One, because of what Joe just spoke to, that men are designed more to be very visually inclined, but also because our culture tells us women can be more inclined to take more of their clothing off.
Yeah.
And so I kind of see two sides to that, where yes, the men are going to be more inclined to look, but also you, again, social media, you look around society, movies, music, whatever, it's implied more that women are going to be more revealing, going to wear more revealing clothing than men are. And so, yeah, I think they're equal importance in the eyes of God, but as far as equal importance, as far as how big of a deal it is for us to deal with, I think women's immodesty is far more of a far more important, because you think about, specifically for this podcast, Godly Young Men podcast, who we're talking to here, what's going to be your bigger struggle as a young man?
Mm-hmm.
You wearing clothes that are immodest, or you looking at girls who are wearing clothes that are immodest? To add the qualifier again, it's not to say that you wearing immodest clothing, as we're going to get to at the end, is okay. It's certainly not as a guy, but what's going to be a bigger struggle for any godly young man, for any young man, age 15 to 25, the answer for that is obvious.
And what's easier to deal with? Okay, I can put on some longer shorts. I can keep my shirt on at the pool. Or, you know, I have to guard my eyes. And
or I have to literally not go to the pool.
Seriously, yeah. Literally not go to the pool. Or every time I go to the pool, just basically put blinders right on. Like, one is significantly harder than the other. So I'm glad that you put the qualifier in there. In no way do I say they're of less importance in the eyes of God. Like, if you are immodest and you're causing somebody else to stumble, that clearly is wrong, even from a guy's perspective. But yes, I mean it's not easy to live as a guy in this day and age. It's a lot easier to be modest than to watch yourself or guard yourself against other people's immodesty.
I mean, I would liken it to the example of, you got a two problems in your house, you know, and one of them is you got a little minor place in your roof that needs patching. And then, you know, you're like, man, that's really bad. And then you've also got your foundation of your house is crumbling. I'd say the foundation of the house is probably, both are important. Both right. are going to, you know, negatively affect the house in the same way of men's modesty versus women's modesty. But you should probably look at the foundation of the house first. Yeah, so
no doubt.
That would just be an analogy I would use. So let's get to kind of the responsibility question. This is where everybody wants
this,
to go.
I was going
to
say, this is the tough part.
This is the debate. And it's to be honest, I have never really understood why it's a debate, because I'll give my answer in a second, but you will hear typically women and then good boys, as we call them, very nice guys, also spout the idea that, you know, it's all on the guys. Oh, yeah. It's on them to not look. It's on them to make sure that they're controlling their thoughts. And if lust, you know, if there's lust or whatever going on, that is 100% on the guy. That's one side. Then you have other folks that will say, nope, that is 100% on the woman for wearing immodest clothing, for going out in public and giving the man the opportunity to lust. What's your take on that one? To me, this is so obvious, but
it's incredibly obvious, and it's only tough because we make it difficult. Like, I don't find it to be difficult at all. It's on both.
It's both, yes.
And I would say, I think it's my wife's grandpa has this great quote where he says, the first look is on her, the second is on you. So if a woman is immodest, yes, she is clearly drawing attention to herself, and if you notice that, you go, whoa. You know, that's partly why she's doing it. I'm sorry to say, but that literally is a lot of the time is to be noticed. And they go, no. A lot of them do it out of ignorance. And okay, sure. There are some women that are immodest out of ignorance. They've never been taught better. But so often it gets them that attention from guys, things like that.
And they
so,
know yeah. it's fashionable. They know it's going to draw the eyeballs, right?
Correct. Yeah. So you drew my eyeballs once. Now, if the guy looks back and goes, whoa, now it's on you. So it is on both of them. And guys that ogle women and things like that, that is not okay. Guys that take women that are immodest and still lust after them, clearly that's not okay. But if a woman is very immodest, that is on her if she draws the attention of a guy. If the guy goes back and looks again, it is very much on him for not guarding himself against it and bouncing his eyes to something better.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, to me, again, this is so obvious of the responsibilities on both. I like the way you sum that up, Joe, of, you know, the first verse of the second look. It is one I do firmly believe God will 100% hold a woman accountable for what she wears, you know, out in public to make men stumble. I also believe God will 100% hold men accountable for what they do with their thoughts, for what they do with their, you know, lustful intentions. And again, the second, third, fourth, fifth look, the lingering eyes, whatever it is. To me, both are going to be held accountable. And so whose responsibility is it? That question, it's both responsibility. I think I used the example before in the lust episode, but you know, you might be watching and I've watched that one. If you go to a bank and the bank leaves the money wide out in the open where literally no cameras, no security guards, nothing, and somebody steals it, you kind of got to look at the bank and go, what are you doing? You know, right. Leaving all the money and stuff, the vault wide open. At the same time, the person who stole it, it's still stealing. It's still against the law. And so that's, again, kind of the analogy that I would use for that of, like, the bank shouldn't be leaving all the money out in the open. You shouldn't be revealing that much of your body. At the same time, somebody steals the money, it's still stealing. You still choose to lust, it's still lust. You don't get excused from your lust because, oh, I mean, she was dressing immodestly. What did you want me to do? You know, right. That excuse doesn't work either. And so to me, that one's pretty obvious, but for some reason, that draws such an emotional charge from some people, or emotional response, I should say.
Well, guys just need to stop looking. Like, we're trying not to look, but the Bible makes it very clear being a stumbling block is not okay.
Yeah.
If you are stumbling block to one of these little ones, as it says, you go, well, it's a guy and he shouldn't be, you know, all these creepy men that are doing it. Like, look, if you as a woman are dressing very revealing, in a very revealing outfit, you're dressing very immodestly, what do you expect?
Right.
Like, it is not okay for us guys to lust. In no way am I saying that is okay, but what do you expect if you're drawing the attention of other guys? Like, that's part of what you're doing this for, in my opinion, and somebody could get ticked at me. I don't really care because I'm hearing all the, no, it's not. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Be honest with yourself. that you are doing that in a way to do that, or in a way to get noticed. But to the other side of it, I think there's a lot of guys that look at that and they go, well, what are you going to do? It's right. kind of the inevitable approach. You know, I am going to go to the mall. I am going to go to the pool. And I'm just going to see it. And I'm, yeah, you know.
I am going to be on Instagram.
Yeah, exactly. And so it just, it kind of, it happens. And so, you know, I lingered a little longer than I should, but what's the big deal? It is a big deal. And go back, I think episode, you said 13.
13, I believe, yeah.
It's crazy. All the way back then. We did one. We had one on lust. Go back and watch that. This is not a lust episode per se, but it is to say this is your responsibility to make sure you're bouncing your eyes, to make sure you're not lingering longer than you should, to make sure you're not staying for, you know, just that 5 seconds longer of going back and looking at that Instagram picture or whatever it is. Yes, she caught your attention. It's okay to notice beauty and go, that is a beautiful woman. That's not mine. That's not my wife. God did not give that to me for you know, marital bliss and satisfaction where I'm satisfying her. She's satisfying. That's not any of that. That is me taking what is not mine, which is, and maybe she's trying to force it on me. That's still not mine to take. So we have to guard ourselves against some of those thoughts. But this is, I'm going to shift into another question because
while you're doing
is,
that, I'm going to grab my Bible. So keep asking.
Okay. So this is kind of the question regarding standards. Because there's also a lot of debate on this one. There's a lot of debate surrounding this.
There's a ton of debate on this one.
Kind of a weird thing, but there's a lot of debates around this. Does God give a standard of modesty? Because you will hear both sides of this. You'll hear some that are like, absolutely, and depending on, you know, depending on how far they take it, a woman shouldn't show her ankles, a woman shouldn't show anything, she should wear the whole hijab and things like that. And then there's others that are like, God doesn't really provide a standard other than maybe nakedness, and so you could pretty much, like, I guess a swimsuit matters, a two-piece, like... No, that's clearly not accurate. So does God give a standard?
Basically, does God give a standard for what's modest and a standard for what is immodest? Which is, you know, it's kind of funny to me. Everybody who I've ever heard argue that God does not give a standard are also the ones that wear pretty short shorts and, you know, wear,
shocking.
Well, yeah, I know. Yeah. Like, go figure. I have gone back and forth on this at times in my Christian walk. I'm going to bring up a few verses because to me, here's the deal. If we're honest, everyone has a standard of what immodest is. Everybody has a standard. Everybody has a line. The only it's just a matter of where are you willing to draw that line. I think everybody would look at a again naked person and say, "Well, man, that's really immodest." Okay, then let's start working our way back.
Right.
What about a two-piece bathing suit? Okay, let's say you say that immodest, which a lot of Christians don't say that that's immodest. Let's say you do. Okay, what about a one-piece? Like, everybody has a line is what I'm getting at. And so for anybody to say, "Well, there's no standard whatsoever. Or, we can't know the standard." People who say that we can't know the standard, there is not a standard, are typically just saying that because they want to wear whatever they want. I'm just going to say that because I truly believe that's what a lot of people, again, that's kind of the ulterior motive that they have. They just want to wear whatever they want. And so the answer of God doesn't have a standard or the Bible doesn't reveal a standard is really easy for them to say. So I am going to bring up a few verses here because I do think God gives us a standard to the best of our understanding. To me, the difficulty is... how strict or how much are we going to enforce that, if that makes sense? Well, and when I say enforce it, like, let me give you a few places to go. So Genesis 3, and I'll be brief with this. A lot of people, if you're familiar with the modesty debate, you know where I'm going. In Genesis chapter 3, right after Adam and Eve sin, they make themselves kind of fig leaf coverings for themselves. And then after, after God hands down the punishment, I probably should have looked. There it is, verse 21, Genesis 3:21. Also, for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics of skin and clothed them. There have been a lot smarter people than me have studied kind of that word tunic and what would that have meant and what all did that entail. I'm going to kind of take their word on it that was something that was basically a garment that covered from your shoulders to your knees, somewhere from here to somewhere to here. Your thigh was not revealed. Anywhere here was not revealed. Again, I have not personally done the study, but a lot of people that I trust have, and more than one reputable source, I'm going to take their word for it. That's one place. The other place that I go that I think is super interesting, and Joe, I'll let you jump in after this, is Isaiah chapter 47 and verse 2, where I'm not going to give you the whole context, but essentially Isaiah is prophesying about the humility of Babylon, and he's using a virgin woman to kind of represent the shame that they're going to undergo. Come down and sit in the dust is verse 1. O virgin daughter of Babylon, sit on the ground without a throne, O daughter of the Chaldeans, for you shall no more be called tender and delicate. Take the millstones and grind meal, remove your veil, take off the skirt, uncover the thigh, pass through the rivers, your nakedness shall be uncovered and your shame will be seen. What do we get out of that? You might, man, Will, that's a stretch. No, what I get out of that is that uncovering your thigh is equivalent to nakedness and shame. I do not think that's a big jump to get there, to say, Prophet Isaiah is saying you uncover your thigh, you are revealing naked, or your that's kind of representative of nakedness and shame. And so for me, I do get out of those, just those two places, there's others we could have gone to, but that God to some extent does have a standard of, if you are exposing your thigh, then that is something that is immodest. Now, again, here's the problem. Here's where it gets difficult. Okay, so we say it's got to go to the knee. What, the bottom of the knee, the middle of the knee, the top of the knee? What if it's right here? I mean, right here, that's still not really your thigh. Like, that to me is where I think we can get a little bit too nitpicky. Now, there's some that would say, well, just be play it safe and just completely cover the knee. I don't necessarily have a rebuttal to that. I understand that. At the same time, if somebody, you know, it comes to church and their skirt is to like just right there, I'm not going to say anything. So I don't, that's kind of my long-winded answer of that. Yes, I think God does have a standard. I think it's difficult to, again, I think a skirt to here and a skirt to here is a big difference. And I think anybody with a brain can tell, like, okay, there's a big difference there. Here and here, I don't know. What are your thoughts?
That's a tough one. That's a really tough one. To me, I think the standard is more in the heart, you know, and this sounds crazy, but like if a woman is known for dressing modestly and everything she does is dressing modestly and she happens to be right here,
mm-hmm.
benefit of the doubt, no doubt, because look, she's shown herself as somebody who very much takes this seriously. She's trying to dress modestly. She's not trying to draw attention to herself, which is a big part of the modesty discussion, is how much attention you're drawing to yourself. If she's doing that all the time and everything she wears is immodest and she's wearing midriff-bearing things and she's wearing strapless or spaghetti strap stuff, like, that clearly is not modest, in my opinion, showing that much, showing cleavage, things like that. And so I'm a lot less likely to say, oh, that, you know, right there is, well, that's perfectly modest. Like, that sounds so crazy to say, and I know it's a case-by-case basis, but there is a heart behind modesty. Sure. Whereas the person is, are they drawing attention to themselves or are they not? And I think that's what we have to run everything through is, will I potentially draw attention to myself? This goes for guys and for girls both. Will I draw attention to myself if it's here? If it's right here, as Will talked about, all the way up to thigh, yeah, you're definitely going to draw attention. You're going to draw the eyes and potentially the lust of young men and unfortunately, and older men, unfortunately, as well. But I would say, like, this is a matter of the heart as to what you feel convicted by. We're not here to condemn, like, that's not our job is to condemn, is to stand up here and say, absolutely not. Our job for the young men is to say, don't lust no matter what. If she's here and you're still lusting after her, that's not okay. But definitely, I mean, for the young women, if they're up here, that's not okay either. So it's just a nuanced discussion, and that's why
I think
so difficult.
The difficulty with it and why, the conversation can frustrate me so many times, because people always want to run to, well, modesty is just about the heart. Modesty is about the heart. You know, we can't really say other than that. Then why did Paul in 1 Timothy say, I want them dressing in modest apparel?
Yeah, no,
he's not talking about the heart. He's talking, and yes, modesty, the heart plays a huge role. I'm certainly not disagreeing with Joe or disagreeing with anybody who brings that up. What a lot of people, and not Joe, but what a lot of other people want to do is say, oh, it's just the heart. That's all that matters. Because what I think people can do is say, well, is it going to draw attention? Well, girls wear short shorts all the time, and so that's really not going to draw that much attention. So cool, I'm good. That's not, you know, a legitimate justification for, again, kind of wearing whatever you want. That's why I do tend to lean towards some kind of standard is better than, well, just kind of a free-for-all. Again, the range might be a little bit debatable, but, you know, all the way up to here is just, to me, that's not debatable. And I think you, even if you run it through the lens of, well, we're at camp and literally every other girl is going to have shorts, so yeah, I'm not drawing that much attention, I don't think that's a filter that works. Does that make sense? That
would be the only thing I'd say there. Absolutely. And I'm in no way definitely disagreeing with you on that. Yeah. Like, well, hey, you know, she's wearing a bikini, but she's got a really good heart. It's not a matter of the heart. Okay. That is not a matter of the heart. It's a matter of drawing attention. When we get into the debate of 3 inches, yeah, I would say your heart on this as to whether you are drawn and prone toward immodesty versus modesty does matter. I mean, if I were drawing a line, I think middle of the knee is appropriate for both men and women. Now, on this podcast, I'm going to be wearing pants from here on because we've talked about some of my shorts. Like, when you sit down, they can pull up a little bit. I'm not as comfortable with that. It's happened on the podcast a couple times. I'm going to be wearing pants for that reason. I want to make sure I'm modest in all settings. So if you have pants that are going to start kind of showing the thigh, coming back up a little bit, we have to be cognizant of these things as men to say, that's not okay, right? We want to make sure that we are guarding ourselves against some of those things, and specifically for women. So, you know, in lusting after them, like where it falls on the knee, I still think the idea all the way down to the knee, which I would say mid knee and below, is more of what's taken place in Genesis 3. But again, I'm not some Hebrew scholar on that. All I know is when it comes to a standard, God does clearly have some sort of standard, because once again, we would know nakedness is some sort of standard. Well, what always drives me nuts about the, and this is for the women that watch, if you can justify a two-piece, I'd love to know how you can justify it, because yeah. would you go out in your underwear? To me, it's the same exact thing. It's like, it's different. No, it's not. It literally is not. Look in the mirror in both of those. You'll realize it's your underwear you're going out in, and that is clearly not okay. If a guy were to go out in his underwear, this is why guys that go out with their shirts off, as we'll get to, I think that's wrong. I think if a guy's going to go out in his underwear, his boxer shorts, well, sometimes those swimsuits look the exact same way. That's not okay. So to me, like, there's just a level of common sense of how is this, just because the culture says it's okay, the culture is degraded. And you'll notice as immodesty gets worse, flower power, the 60s and the sexual revolution, the 70s and whatnot, as immodesty has gotten worse, the culture has steadily gotten worse as well. As more is revealed, and I'm not saying, yes, correlation doesn't equal causation per se, but it is interesting that as immodesty in each of these cultures, going back to that time,
that is an interesting point, yeah.
Like, it gets more debased as you go, to the point that now we have pornography and OnlyFans and things like that, where women think that it's okay to show anything off at any time. We're not a better off culture for it. I think getting back to more modesty than less, even if we take it too far and go all the way down, take it too far, quote unquote, all the way down to the ankles, we're better off as a society if we were to do that.
Well, and the fact, I would suffice it to say, like, some people might be getting upset, man, they're sure being nitpicky, man, this sure is, and this is kind of ridiculous here. We're simply asking the godly young men who are watching and listening to this, and anybody else who might be, let's just think a little deeper. What is going to make us more like Christ? You know, does it mean that we have to wear everything, you know, cover every single inch of our skin? Neither one of us are saying that. We're simply asking you to think a little bit deeper. And the fact that we do have so many Christians who will, you know, could say a naked person is immodest, but a two-piece bathing suit is perfectly fine, defies all common sense and logic on the book. Or again, apply to the guys. A guy, you know, a swim trunks without a shirt on. The fact that you can say, oh yeah, that's probably fine, just kind of blows my mind. But let's go ahead and get into, again, I would just encourage everybody, use common sense. This is something that for some reason draws a lot of emotional response from people. We're just asking you, you know, what's going to make us more Christ-like? So let's get into the men's modesty things to avoid, because Godly Young Men podcast, I don't think we need to tell any of our godly young men not to wear two-piece bathing suits here. So what are some guy modesty pitfalls that we need to avoid? You already got into the first one, so I don't know if you want to kind of finish that point out and elaborate. Because I think that's probably the biggest one. That's why I put it number one.
Yes, exactly. Taking your shirt off at the pool or at the beach. Some guys say, what's the big deal? It is immodest. You are showing off a lot of that, and specifically depending on the swim trunks that you have, I think sometimes those can ride up the thigh and things like that to the point where you don't even have that much on. I do think that's immodest. And yeah, maybe you got the six-pack abs and good for you. That's not for everybody else to see. It's not. So we've always been advocates. We've always done, especially when we're around other people. When I'm with my wife, like in a hot tub somewhere and it's literally just us, okay, maybe I'll take my shirt off in that moment. That's for her, not for anybody else. So
Swim shirts,
things like that. I mean, we want to be modest wherever we are. We are representing Christ. And I have had discussions, actually. People say, wow, that's really weird. Why would you do that? It's like, I'm trying to be modest. And that actually does spur on conversations for Christ, which sounds crazy, but it absolutely has happened. So that would be the first thing I'd say is don't take your shirt off at the pool. Don't take your shirt off in public in that way, just because I think that's not for other people to see.
The next one, I kind of ranked these as far as, like, in my opinion, areas of the biggest struggle, I guess, for guys. Like, I see a ton of guys take their shirt off at the beach. The next one I would say, revealing shirts, like revealing sleeveless shirts at the gym. You see those where these guys
all the way down.
Literally, the hole is gaping.
Why do you have a shirt on?
You can see, you know, again, it's to show off the abs, show off the pectoral muscles, all those things. Yeah, don't have any business doing that. Again, because think about why guys do that. There's one singular reason why guys, oh, it's comfortable. Give me a break. It's not comfortable.
Right.
The only reason is to, you know, show everybody how muscular you are. Yep. That's not modest. And again, if we're going to apply the Genesis standard, not just the Genesis standard, to me, the standard that I do think is pretty present in the Bible, that needs to be covered. Just like, you know, again, a female's crop top or whatever. Guys, you don't need to be wearing shirts to the gym that are, again, gaping holes that are showing everything off.
Yeah. Number three is ridiculously short shorts. We talked about the women having shorts all the way up here. You see some guys that wear that. Guys that get on their bicycles or whatever, and they're like, their shorts are all the way,
literally like 3-inch seams.
Seriously, like, what are you doing? I can't understand. And going back to the verse in Isaiah here, it is showing the thigh. I think that is kind of uncovering the nakedness in a way. Like, it is not becoming of a man to have all your legs, your entire leg shown. There's a reason a lot of that, specifically the short shorts and such, and the tank tops are associated with the homosexual movement. it is very, very revealing, and you are kind of sending out a message in a way. And so, no, not a big fan of the ridiculously short shorts for guys. I think if we're going to call, and this is the thing, there are two things I want to say. First off, it is about showing off. The modesty discussion is about making sure you are not showing off. It's the same thing as I've talked on other podcasts before about a woman who shows up in like lime green everything. That's immodest. You are absolutely drawing attention to yourself. So I would say there's, on that side, make sure you're not showing off, to Will's point on the last one. But as far as it goes, like with the ridiculous short shorts, if we're going to call women out for this, yes, we're going to call guys out for that as well.
For sure.
We can't just be like, well, the women can't wear short shorts because we're visual. You don't know if a woman is visual in that way, and it still is not for somebody else to see. So we cannot have a double standard here where we're calling them to ultra modesty because I might lust if they do. You better not be. That's on you. Make sure you're not lusting. But then for you to walk out there and have your shirtless, be shirtless at the pool or going to the gym and showing off all your abs or whatnot, and then wearing these ridiculously short shorts, we can't have this double standard where we're calling them to utmost modesty while we go out looking like, No, absolutely not.
So, which is why, since this is the Godly Young Men podcast, this is where we're wrapping the podcast right. with things that you can avoid as a man, in addition to not lusting after females, kind of the clothing thing. So that's a great point.
Yeah, and get us into the fourth one.
Yeah, the last thing that I would say, you know, those similar to the gym thing, the skin tight muscle shirts, you know, the athletic shirts that are just, you know, ultra tight all over, you know, I don't know. Like if I've seen like polo shirts and stuff where the sleeves are a little tighter, you know, show the biceps off. I'm not as big a, you know, I'm not as opposed to those, but I'm talking like the ones that are just like painted literally on. It's a bodysuit basically that you're wearing to the gym. I'm sure there's others we could have thrown on there. Those are just kind of the ones that we thought of, again, that guys are typically going to struggle with. Taking your shirt off is a huge one. The gym stuff, what you wear to the gym, and then the really short shorts. The list for females, unfortunately, is way longer of things potentially that they could wear or, you know, things that they could do with their clothing that is just immodest. And, again, that speaks to our earlier point of it is of equal importance in the eyes of God, but as far as what's a bigger deal, it is women's immodesty. But for the purposes of this episode, I would strongly encourage all of you godly young men to avoid some of these clothing pitfalls. Anything else you would add to kind of that list or the episode in general?
Yeah, I don't think so. We know that this is kind of crossing over. We didn't want to cross too much over in the last episode since we've already done that. There is an aspect of this, as we talked about just at the beginning. It's summertime. You have to guard yourself against these things. You have to be willing to say, you know what? Even if somebody else doesn't see it as immodest, if it's drawing you to lust, bounce your eyes. You got to look away. You got to be better than that. But once again, with ours, don't contribute to that problem. Don't be the godly young man who's not acting godly in that moment because he just wants to do what everybody else is doing. Be better than that. Rise above and be modest.
The other thing we understand is that this is incredibly countercultural. Yep. We know there's so many guys going, are you kidding me? I've got to wear my shirt at the pool or beach. And it's still irritating for me. Like, I don't want to.
No kidding.
Like, you know, that's not something that, man, I just love. The swim shirts are so stylish. They're not. Like, I get it. It's something that people are going to be going, are you serious? I can't go to that pool party with all my, you know, senior high school friends that are going to be wearing. Listen, I'm telling you, you probably shouldn't go. And it's something that, again, is very countercultural, very, for a lot of young men, even if you are one of those, you know, few who are truly wanting to seek after God, watching these podcasts, listening to them, you're going to be highly tempted. It might even give in to, I'm going to go to the pool party anyway. I'm going to go to the beach anyway. I'm going to not bounce my eyes. We're just using this episode as a plea to not do those things, to stand out, to be different, to be truly men of God who aren't going to, first of all, wear things that are modest, but secondly, who are going to lust after women who are modest. So for all of those of you who are listening or watching to this, who are taking this advice or going to do the best that you can to follow this advice, we thank you for watching and listening. For anybody who might not be, pray about it if it's going to be a struggle for you, because it's not easy. I mean, this is a struggle. It will be a struggle for your entire life, as we talked about in the last episode. But we're going to wrap right there. We've got, again, a lot more fantastic content for you guys lined up every single Tuesday. Probably won't be taking any more weeks off, hopefully.
Hopefully
last week will be the last one for a while. But hope everybody is, I guess, school's about to be over for a lot of our godly young men.
True.
So hope you're enjoying the start of your summer break and getting those summer vacations ready to go. We'll be back next week with another episode of the Godly Young Men podcast. Thanks so much for watching.